One franchise quarterback throwing behind the back passes, the other one throwing absolute slugs. Football is back, baby.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. On a Monday, a Duffy's MVP Monday, it's your boy Theo Dorsey tapping in with you. Got my guy C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. And we got some drama stirring up in the NFL. We have a response, actually, from the Vikings camp, from the Vikings side of things, as Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is ever picked on, criticized, ostracized, undermined, finally no longer underpaid, he got some slugs off today on his former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores. He hopped on the Dan Le Batard show, sitting back on a couch, feeling comfortable, and just started to tell all. Very candid. It was a Tua tell-all, and it's got us talking. It's got us going, because anything with Tua and the Dolphins involved seems to always, you know, draw a harsh line right in the middle of sports talk. And there's a billion people on the right, either, you know, criticizing, talking down on the Dolphins, hating on Tua. And then there's the ones on the left that are trying to support the young man who's going into his fifth year now, starting at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, third year under Mike McDaniel. And boy, if they haven't been bright already, if the spotlight wasn't already just scorching on what the Dolphins are going to do this season offensively, what Tua can be as a franchise quarterback and Mike McDaniel on the sideline, C-Cat, it ain't going to get no dimmer based on what we heard him say today on that couch.
Holding hands, singing lullabies in the Dolphins locker room with this new, well, not even new anymore, head coach Mike McDaniel versus Brian Flores. They better perform.
They have to. I mean, and again, the Dolphins don't get judged on what they're going to do in September, November, October, any of these early months. It's about December. It's about against playoff contending teams, and it's what can you do also in cold weather. That's how they're going to get judged this year, rightfully so. They are a team that, again, I've told you once, I'll tell you again, they're not a Super Bowl contender. They're not. They're absolutely not a contender to hoist the Lombardi Trophy in 2024. They're not built that way this year. They don't have the requisite roster or experience to feel as that, but they are a team that should win a playoff game or at least have the goal of doing such. And they're a team that matters because they're very fun to watch. And also, they've got they got the number one player, according to the NFL 100, in the NFL, and Tyreek Hill. Let's hear what Tua had to say on the Dan Le Batard show. We already have a response from the Vikings camp just about an hour ago. I'll read that off, but first, here's what started it all. Tua Tagovailoa on the couch, chopping it up on the Dan Le Batard show and being very candid about his experience, comparing head coach Brian Flores, his first 2 years in the league, to the past 2 years under head coach Mike McDaniel.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad. And you hear it more and more. You start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year.
A couple things in that from Tua. Number one, he called Brian Flores a terrible person. Like, just outright a terrible person. And I do think that he might have wanted to walk that back. He probably didn't mean it in that way, because at that point, he was just talking about the actions of Flores. You would hope that he's evolved past that. But He called him a terrible person. And then there was one thing, too, that stood out there from EC Cat. He said, you start to believe it. And for Tua, who went through that haze, it feels like somewhat of a hazing process his first couple of years in the league, being benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick back and forth, being, you know, denigrated by his head coach, being told that he didn't belong. It was a haze. And I do wonder how much of that started to set into his mind, that he did not feel like he was good enough for the National Football League, and how that started to kind of get eradicated. But when you hear that, C-Cat, I mean, that, do you start to kind of feel bad for what he went through those first couple of years, knowing just how harsh it seemed like Flores was in his ear?
I don't feel bad for him. I'm more confused because Tua got benched for Jalen Hurts in an SEC championship game when he was in college. So that's happened to him in his past before, but these feelings are only bubbling up in his NFL time. And honestly, if you were to ask my honest opinion, that makes Tua look so soft. He looks weak as hell. If you're going to admit that a coach was coaching you hard and it hurt your feelings, so that's why he didn't play good football, and you're going to blame that for the past 2 years before McDaniel got there, that's what that tells me. If I'm an NFL coach and I'm thinking of my next quarterback and I'm a hard coacher and I tell it as it is, I'm direct, I don't want to handle my quarterback with kid gloves, and you got to handle Tua with kid gloves to get the best out of him.
See, this right here, I'm glad you said that. It does sound like there are some people that think that he needs to be coddled, that thinks that he needs to be that him coming out with this finally, again, 2 years after Brian Flores has been fired and is now offensive coordinator of the Vikings, that this is soft. It's wimpy. I would say the exact opposite from Tua. To me, the fact that he felt it was that dire, and the fact that Brian Flores objectively was a bad head coach, right? A great defensive mind, is a really good defensive coordinator for the Vikings right now, objectively was a bad head coach for him. The fact that Tua was able to endure that and then get the injection in that 2022 offseason of Tyreek Hill, Teron Armstead, Mike McDaniel, Raheem Mostert, and not be ruined by the previous experience. Like, if Tua was soft, would he have been able to bounce back from that, even with the injection of positivity and the optimism that came with the new era of the Dolphins staff? And then Tyreek Hill, who also bolstered him up a lot. I don't think Tua being soft in here is the lesson from it. I think more so Tua being able to endure that and bounce back. And I think instead of him feeling any kind of consternation or negativity about this, Tua should be thankful. He should be grateful and thankful for the valleys that he went through with Brian Flores in those first couple of years. I know that to Dolphins fans, Flores is the enemy of the state and the most decrepit human being of all time. And he didn't believe in your fifth overall pick, so we're all mad at him. We're lining up. We're trying to throw tomatoes at the dude. But he gave Tua a lot of perspective. And he gave Tua a reason to be even more grateful for what Mike McDaniel is to him right now. If you think about it, Tua went from Nick Saban, the highest of the high in college football, to Brian Flores, a guy who just wasn't fit to head coach at that juncture in his life, and now is with a guy like Mike McDaniel, has a guy like Tyreek Hill, who I credit more for the evolution of Tua Tagovailoa than Mike McDaniel. I think the injection of Tyreek Hill into that offense gave Tua something that is unmatched around the league, whereas there are many great minds in when it comes to offensive play callers like Mike McDaniel that we see popping up everywhere. This is why you should feel more confident in Tua's ability to be a franchise quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. He endured that, and he bounced back. We can't say the same yet for Trevor Lawrence. Tua should be thankful for that valley he went through, and also thankful that he's strong-minded enough to take all of that in, still performed pretty well under Brian Flores, and then afterwards, obviously now, it's been through the roof with the Dolphins. I do want to say that was our Baptist Health Orthopedic Care offseason football report. Tua giving a tell-all from the couch. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. I mean, are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Tua, Dolphins fans, and the anybody around that Dolphins organization should be thankful, grateful for what Brian Flores presented for Tua and the rest of them, because they showed them just how bad it can be and just how thankful they should be for Mike McDaniel, who comes in as a breath of fresh air, and most importantly, the biggest contribution to Tua's evolution as a player is bringing in a guy like Tyreek Hill, who comes with that same level of confidence, right? He's still, since he stepped foot in there, he's been saying, this is the most accurate quarterback I've ever had. And he's the guy that's on the field going for 1,200 yards in four straight seasons and double-digit touchdowns and just got ranked the number one player in the NFL. Tyreek Hill is the most important piece of this thing. Mike McDaniel also just a breath of fresh air.
You draft a guy inside the top five overall in a draft, I don't think that you get a coach that adapts to him. That player should be able to adapt to whatever head coach he has. There's a reason why he was drafted so high, because he has so much promise. I think it's kind of weak as hell if Brian Flores was a little bit mean to him and said, you're nobody, rookie, like every other rookie gets under Brian Flores, but the QB just couldn't handle it.
Does every rookie go through that? And also, is it necessary? Because as a leader, your job shouldn't just be to take one style, one leadership style, one method, and present it to everybody. Tua is obviously a guy that doesn't respond well to that. He responds better to affirmations. He responds better to positivity, to people pouring confidence into him. Brian Flores is an elite defensive mind and a great defensive coordinator, and he flipped what the Vikings had on defense around in just a year, and I'm sure he'll do even better this next year, now that they brought more talent out there. But Brian Flores, as a head coach, was a failure. He was. And maybe we should be looking more at the offensive side of things. Maybe we should look at the OCs and whatnot, but the way that he at least managed the most important position, not just in football, but in all of team sports, was a failure on Brian Flores' behalf. And whether or not you like the guy, and I think he's a really good coordinator. Some guys are just bad at head coach. Look at Nate Hackett. Look at Brandon Staley. Really good coordinators at one point. Terrible head coaches. It just doesn't vibe with me that you think Tua should be the one that is like, okay, well now I have to adapt to what this guy is saying and doing.
Welcome to the league. I was in college playing football, and now I'm doing it for my job. I guess they're going to be a little bit harder on me. Yeah. You were the golden boy at Bama. You come to Miami in a rebuild.
He wasn't, though. He's very coachable. You just admitted that at Bama in Tuscaloosa, when he had to be pulled for Jalen Hurts, which, by the way, I think it was the SEC championship game, which I was at, where Tua got hurt and Hurts came in. Really, it was Hurts that got pulled for Tua in that championship game. Tua throws the game-winning touchdown to, I believe, was Waddle on the left side of the field. And then it was the SEC championship game the next year when Tua won the position. He got hurt while Bama was trailing Georgia. I remember that game. I was on the sideline covering it, and Georgia fans were already celebrating. They thought that game was booked and done. Tua gets hurt. He gets pulled out. Hurts comes in. He saves the day, actually. And then I forget what happened for them afterwards in the championship game going forward, but that was actually an incredible moment that he also was able to celebrate with Hurts. I think he's a good team player guy. I just don't think he deals well with, like, super negativity. Some of the things he was saying Flores was pouring into him was just destructive, not constructive.
I think any player under Nick Saban will understand that they have to kind of get it with Saban. Saban's going nowhere. Obviously, he retired. Yeah, but in that moment, you know that if he's won these national championships with other players, I think I got to fall in line. When you go to the NFL, the power dynamic changes. You're getting paid a whole lot more than that head coach. It wasn't like that when Tua was at Bama.
That wasn't the problem, though. I don't think that was the issue, because also Flores had issues with more than just Tua Tagovailoa in his time in Miami. And also, if you were able to adapt to Saban's coaching style, which he's not one of those hyper-negative guys. I think he gets that you know, people give that aura about him. They think that because he's more no-nonsense. Nick Saban was a lot more cool, it feels like, a lot more chill, a lot more positive than people probably think from the outside looking in, versus Flores, who was trying to emulate the Bill Belichick thing. Before we go to break here, I do want to give out our poll, our Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the day. Who was most influential? Who contributed the most to making Tua turn around in this league? Because he has done pretty well the past couple of years. We put it out on Twitter at ESPN West Palm. You can check it out right now. It's Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill, Tua himself or other. You can make your vote right now. Right now, Mike McDaniel leading the pack with over 50% of that vote. The Palm Beach County Poll of the Week, presented by the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. The August primary election is coming up. That's actually tomorrow. Florida's a closed primary state, which means that voters can only vote for candidates within their same party. A voter can change their party affiliation for the August primaries, but that date has passed. Eligible voters can vote in one of three ways, either by mail at early voting locations from August 10th through yesterday, so you missed that, or Election Day, which is tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Visit votepalmbeach.gov to view your status and learn more. We'll see you at the polls. We'll see you on the other side. We got Mike Tannenbaum pulling up. We'll ask him, who's been most influential in Tua's progression, as well as we're picking division winners in the NFL. The favorites versus the field. Mike T on the other side. That's CCAT on Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
2024 Boca Raton Bowl is going to be kicking off its 11th year this December. Which day in December? I'm glad you asked. Wednesday, December 18th at FAU Stadium, Howard Schnellenberger Field. You're going to want to pull up, get your tickets. The battle of two of the best teams from the group of five. They're going to get their shot at a title. For more information, BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl, Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates as well. The 2024 Boca Raton Bowl, Wednesday, December 18th at FAU Stadium, the reigning champion USF Bulls. Well, they're looking pretty good this year. Somebody told me earlier today that they have a shot at upsetting the Miami Hurricanes. I don't believe it. I don't want to hear it. But again, Boca Bowl. Great, exciting stuff. The annual outdoor party of South Florida. Joining us here on a Monday, as always, is our GM, the general manager of the people here on Theoretically Speaking, Mike Tannenbaum, who's pulling up fresh off another weekend of some prolific preseason football play. But also, we're getting closer and closer, 2 weeks out from the start of the NFL season. Mike T, how you doing on this Monday, and how antsy are you for the games that actually count towards the record?
Yeah, Theo, great to be with you. I'm with you there, my friend, because we're getting a good sample size of the Jaden Daniels and the Caleb Williams, but boy, it'll be nice to see it teed up for real. And what an opening week we have. You know, we got Kansas City at home against Baltimore on Thursday, and then we got Green Bay and Philadelphia from Brazil on Friday. What an unbelievable opening weekend of football we'll have.
Yeah, it's going to be night after night after night of good games, and I got to get my my honeydews out of the way and make sure I go out to dinner as many times as possible between now and the start of football season so I can sit back and enjoy some of those games. Mike T, you brought up quarterbacks. We saw what happened with the Atlanta Falcons. We've been incredulous over the whole offseason with what's been going on in Atlanta from when they gave Kirk Cousins the big deal, then they draft Michael Penix at number 8. Now we see them benching Michael Penix Jr. for the rest of the preseason. What does that tell you based off of what Raheem Morris has been saying in the front office that they have planned for 2024 now that Penix won't be playing another preseason snap?
I have no idea. It made zero sense to me. If he's going to be your backup quarterback, he needs all the reps he can get. So the mystery of the Atlanta Falcon offseason program with how they're handling the quarterback continues to me. Theo, it makes no sense. If he's going to be your backup, he needs reps and get ready to go. Is he going to be 3 and Taylor Heinicke your backup? So that was an odd one to me.
I'm curious, Mike T, do you think they were spooked at all? I mean, your guy, J.J. McCarthy, obviously, tears his meniscus, has season-ending injury. Now he can't get any real live reps for a while until he heals up. Do you think that might have spooked them, or do you think this is just another one of those things that don't make sense? Because that's the only thing I could think of is an injury concern thing.
Yeah, but we're seeing, Caleb Williams out there, Jaden Daniels. We saw Bo Nix play a whole bunch of football last night. So, at some point, you got to go play football. Like, Daniel Jones coming off of an ACL, look, he didn't play well, but he was out there. So I don't know. And if you're the backup quarterback, you're one hit away from playing. So, and by the way, the starter's coming off an Achilles injury, and he's over 30. So I was stunned when I saw that.
Likewise, on this side, again, Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on a Monday, talking some football. We'll move off of the preseason, the pontificating from the preseason and the weird moves by the Atlanta Falcons. We'll move in to a fun game I like to call Favorites or the Field. Now, the way it's going to work here today, Mike T., I'm going to give you the six divisions in the NFL that have a clear favorite, and you'll have the option of, if you had to bet, let's just say, I don't know, what's something that's really valuable to you that you wouldn't want to give up, but also, you know, you can part with it and you wouldn't be too mad?
My Monday afternoon appointments with Theo.
Okay, bet. If you had to wager your Monday afternoon calls here on Theoretically Speaking on one of these teams, and don't just punt it away here, you want to keep these things, you're going to have to put it on either the favorite or the field, and we'll start with the AFC South. We'll start with the Houston Texans, who on Hard Rock Bet are plus 105 to win the division. You got the Colts. You got the Jaguars still. Would you put your money or your appearances here on Theoretically Speaking on the Texans at plus 105, or would you take the field?
I gotta go with the field. I think Trevor Lawrence needs to take the next step. I think he will. I think he's been slightly disappointing. So if I can get Jacksonville and two other teams, I'm going to take that.
Oh, I would have definitely. I'm taking the Texans there. I believe in C.J. Stroud. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid down there in Houston, so I'm surprised by that pick. I won't be so surprised by this one. I assume I know which way you're going to go. AFC West, the Chiefs, the heaviest favorite in the NFL, minus 230. You taking the Chiefs, the favorite, or you rocking with the field?
I got to go with the Chiefs. Till further notice. Look, I think Mahomes and the Chargers, Herbert and the Chargers are coming with Jim Harbaugh. But look, we got a three-peat for a reason. So I think the Chiefs to win the division is a pretty safe bet.
How you like that second showing from Bo Nix out there in Denver? Are you your confidence continue to grow with that?
I think so. You know, he has a little bit more juice than I thought, and I think he's clearly going to be the starter. Much the way we saw the Commanders name Jaden Daniels today, Theo, I think it's clear that Bo Nix will be the starter in Denver.
Gotta love that. Mike T playing the favorites versus the field. And speaking of Jaden Daniels, who was announced today as the starter for the Commanders week one, the NFC East, they have not had a repeat division champ since 2004, the Eagles. The Eagles are favored to win this year at minus 120. The Cowboys won the division last year. Are you taking the Eagles at minus 120, or are you taking the field in the NFC East?
Yeah, I'm going to take the field. I think the Commanders probably won't win it, but boy, if we're sitting here in November, December, Theo, and saying, hey, you know, this team is a surprise, like, I think we're going to be talking about a team like the Commanders, maybe the Chargers, so I think Jaden Daniels has a great future. He's going to have to stay healthy. That was the one question coming out of LSU. But I love the Eagles, but you never know with Dallas or Washington.
I was going to ask, too, with the Eagles, does any of that infighting that we hear about, any of that make you lose confidence in what they're going to be able to do this year, especially based off how they finished last season?
You know, if they didn't make the changes they made, coordinators on both sides of the ball, I would say so. But you know, it's really a new paradigm for that team with two new leaders. So I think they deserve a fresh start, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
Favorites versus the field here on Theoretically Speaking. Mike Tannenbaum wagering his Monday appointments with us up against which team is going to win the division here in the NFL. NFC North, this one I would take the field because I have a lot of love for what the Bears have, especially and also your guy Jordan Love and the Packers. I'm really big on both of those teams doing well, but the Lions, they're plus 135 to win the NFC North. Mike T, you taking the favorites or the field there?
I got a lot of love for Love, so I'm going to take the Packers and two other teams.
Gotta love that. Good one. Now, the Vikings, obviously, you know, it'll be a shock for them to pop up anywhere in that. But yeah, like you said, you love Jordan Love. The Bears have looked great, and Hard Knocks is selling me even more. So I'm rocking with the field on that as well. Let's move over to the NFC South. Mike T, my proposition for the NFL this year, we don't even play NFC South divisional games. We save the concussions, we save everybody's time, and we just gift the Falcons the NFC South because that's what's going to happen. They're minus 145 on Hard Rock Bet to win the division. You taking the favorites or the field right there?
Yeah, I'm going to take the field. This is a really hard division to prognosticate. You can make an argument literally for any of the four, so I'll take three teams. And look, I don't think Carolina's going to win it, but you really can make an argument for any of the other three.
What would be your argument for the Saints? I feel like they're directionless right now. Is it Derek Carr is going to have a bounce back year? Like, what's your argument that New Orleans could put out a better product than the Falcons can this year?
You know, a couple of good skilled players led by Chris Olave. I think Kamara, you could probably squeeze another year out of him. You know, Derek Carr is a B, and Dennis Allen's a pretty good defensive coach. So, you know, this nucleus is getting older. Cam Jordan, Demario Davis. But I think they could probably squeeze another year out of this group. And look, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl, but if we're sitting here and the Saints won 9 or 10 games, I don't think that'd be crazy.
All righty, and the last one here, NFC West. Mike T, you taking the favorites, the 49ers at minus 190, or are you taking the field with the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks lurking?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 49ers. I'm assuming Trent Williams and Ayuk will be there. I think they'll work that out over the next week, and I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL, complete, deep, McCaffrey, Ayuk, Kittle, amongst many others, great defense, so I'll take the 49ers, and I'll see you next Monday.
I was about to say, that's you. That's the thing about it, too. We'll let you out of here, but again, you taking the field in the NFC South, we might not see you next Monday, man. That should have been a go away with the Falcons. You don't like the additions there? Simmons, Judon, everything?
You know, I do. I just I'm a little concerned about the quarterback. You know, like, guys don't get older and more durable. You know, typically, you know, if you've been hurt, you don't – that's just a good rule of thumb. And I think Kirk Cousins plays well, maybe plays 14 games. And I think Penix will be good at some point. But I don't know. That whole situation just doesn't feel right to me. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But a lot has to come together for them to be successful.
Appreciate your time, Mike T. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. And we'll be seeing you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
That's Mike Tannenbaum. His appearance is here, brought to you by Eisner Amper. And again, yes, he's wagering his appearances here on Theoretically Speaking on that. I think he's got good money on most of those, but the NFC South, I just couldn't see. Obviously, the Panthers are out of it, C-Cat. The Falcons are the favorite right now. They've got their backup quarterback, too. Like, they have the insurance plan right in place with Michael Penix Jr., who they're putting in bubble wrap right now, likely for that reason. And then, yeah, I have no faith in what the Saints are cooking. And the Buccaneers, we saw what they had last year, and they just rolled the same team back. I don't think they're going to get any better. Like, that division feels sealed up to me.
I'll put it this way. The Falcons are the offseason champs, but how many times in the past 10 years have we seen the Saints win games they shouldn't, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater under center or not? And how many games have we seen the Falcons lose that they should have won?
Yeah.
That's the only kind of NFC South kind of magic that I've seen.
Arthur Smith won 8 games with this team as the head coach, right? Misutilizing resources, we would at least assume, right? Not feeding Bijan Robinson the way that most fantasy football owners or just ball knowers in general would have assumed he would. And with Taylor Heineke and Desmond Ridder and such with this bunch. Now you're telling me you inject into play at least above average quarterback play with Kirk Cousins, growth with that offensive talent, Zach Robinson as the OC, Raheem Morris, who by all accounts from everybody around the league is going to be a really good head coach this time around, and you bring in some veterans on the defensive side. You got Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Matthew Judon. Their corners are strong. Like, I think they're head and shoulders above everybody else in this division. There's just that Falcon stench. Like, for something, like when people see that little Dirty Bird logo on the helmet, people remember 28-3 or remember all of the dismal seasons that you've seen from them. Like, they're going to turn heads in a sharper way than people are anticipating. And I'm just surprised that Mike T wasn't more in favor of them.
Now, you're looking for a high five, unifying over the Falcons, winning this division already. You just didn't get it. You're spurned.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I am spurned by that. I'm ultimately spurned by that. It's cool, Mike T. I'll get them on. You know, 3-4 weeks in, I'll get them on board. One thing you don't need to sell people on, you don't need to continuously, you know, try and convince them on is just how good your golf game can get at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. They're the best. It's the best training, best coaching. You train like a pro with the Seahawks at the flagship campus of Kaiser University. They got a 2,000 square foot indoor facility. Rain, sleet, or, well, it wouldn't be sleeting or snowing out here, but I mean, if it did, guess what? You're covered. You hop in there, 3 different hitting bays, ball flight technology. Check out my guy, Coach Pete. He'll get you right. Doesn't matter which one you're working on. You got your irons, you got your driver, you got your putter. Well, you can step right outside, too. They got the putting green. They got the driving range for you. You can work on your chipping. Anything you need to improve in your golf game, you can find it right there at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. KaiserGolfCenter.com. KaiserGolfCenter.com. That's where you go to tune your game up and train like a pro. When's the last time you hit the links, CK?
I played last Sunday. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, that's for you. That's a while.
Yeah, it's been a full week. Yeah, for sure.
You get after it. So on the other side, we're going to get after it ourselves. Hop on our vehicle, our motion machine, the SafeBound Get Around, and hit the major topics of the day. We also, I mean, this one is fascinating to me. A quarterback just announced his retirement today. That just brings a lot of nostalgia out of me. And also, disdain for the current state of football. It gets me a little bit angered because things are changing and we can't get a hold of the wheel. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I'm not going to let the disrespect of the Falcons sit. As a guy that was a sports anchor in the state of Georgia, and trust me, I did my fair share of trolling of Falcons and UGA fans every single day. I loved it. I thrived in that environment. Y'all can't keep discrediting what they've built out here. Got a Saints fan. My boy Jordan texted me talking about, yeah, we ain't on nothing this year, but we could still win the South and make the playoffs. No, you can't. And the Falcons are in win now mode, and they're actually proving it with the additions they're making to that roster. I just, again, can't believe I'm defending anything from Atlanta or the state of Georgia right now, but got to give some love to the Falcons. You too, Mike T. EDS is yes.com. There's no better way to move out of that into this, but something that is trusted, that is not contended with, is how great it is to be serviced by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. For all your AC and plumbing needs, EDS is yes.com. They've been serving Palm Beach County since 2006, keeping you cool, keeping me cool for the past year and a half. I'm a gold member, which means I get two checkups every single year, preventative care and repair. And of course, with EDS, you get the timely service, 24/7 support. Then you just hop online, edsisyes.com, and to book an appointment around your time. And they're timely at EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDS is yes. edsisyes.com, your trusted AC experts here in Palm Beach County. Hop online, get locked in. edsisyes.com. See, Kat. I know that this isn't this isn't gonna be riveting news to everybody else, but we're hitting up some wrestling tonight, some WWE Raw Fight Night Monday stuff tonight, baby.
That's exactly what it's called.
Yeah,
Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw.
Fort Lauderdale. We're going as a team. I'm gonna teach you all the ins and outs of the wrestling biz.
Yes,
and you're excited for it. I can read it on your face.
I'm pumped up for it. I actually am. Like I'm extremely terrified of what I'm walking into blindly. I didn't grow up watching a lot of wrestling. I played the video game, the SmackDown versus Raw. My favorite wrestler was The Undertaker. My little brother actually texted me this morning and was like, yo, Rey Mysterio's back. And I was like, I know that dude, the short dude from Cali, 619, yeah, jumping off the ropes.
Like Kabuyaka, for sure.
Yeah, like, I'm. Is he going to be there tonight, you think? Or
I don't know.
You don't know? They don't tell you ahead of time?
They tell a couple of things ahead of time. CM Punk's going to be there. He's a big deal.
I know about CM Punk.
We'll bump back with some CM Punk music on the other side.
Okay. So we need to get into some of that. And also, I am taking any tips on my first wrestling event. I'm a grown man, finally going to get involved, going to first check out my in-person first wrestling event. Monday Night Raw, any tips you have for us, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. I will be wearing this shirt. Or potentially, I have my Chiefs Kingdom shirt in the truck. This is a collared shirt. I don't want to look too buttoned up.
About a wardrobe change for
just
your
in
night
case.
Out.
I don't want to like look like the guy that's like, oh, he's new. I don't want people to like point me out like from the outside, like, oh, this guy doesn't get it.
Fair. What?
He's not a guy like us. So,
for the people that are listening, what material is your shirt? How do you describe your shirt?
This is cotton. This is like a nice zip up.
Look at
cotton.
Pastor kind of.
You say what?
You look kind of a youth pastor.
Yeah, I do. It would be like, I will go to a Bible study in this. Mm-hmm. I could lead a Bible study in this shirt.
Exactly.
And do it effectively. So maybe not the best for Monday Night Raw, WWE, Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, rah, like all that stuff. So, but I am excited for the experience. And do you root for a wrestler? Like, do you pick one guy going into it?
You got a couple guys under your belt you might buy the merch from.
Does one person win? Like, is there going to be a champion crown tonight at Amerit Bank Arena?
No, there's going to be one title match, I believe, in the tag team division. But like, no, it's not like a tournament or anything. No, it's like a TV show. So you'll want to buy the next premium live event.
Gotcha.
Storylines continue. Yeah. Should have watched last week's Raw. You would be all up to date, but you didn't. It's okay.
I should have. I should have tapped into it. I spent the weekend. I went to the Norton Art Museum, by the way. Lovely. Saw a couple Picassos. I didn't know they had the Picassos going.
Picasso? Also, is there an R?
Picasso.
Okay, you're giving a little bit of R after the P.
Did you know Picasso was alive for Joe Namath's Super Bowl championship?
No, honestly.
He died in 73. Nobody talks about that. The dude was like walking around here just like 50 years ago. I thought he was like a really ancient dude. But I learned that as well at the Norton today. Norton Art Museum, a great place to spend the weekend.
Well, I would link together like Picasso during like King Tut time. That's what I thought like Pablo Picasso was.
The way that people talk about him and the reverence around Picasso's name, you would think he was like 200 years ago. The dude was like kicking it. He probably went to the Super Bowl and watched Joe Namath win. I think that's incredible. They don't talk about that enough. Picasso is like a really recent dude. We're sounding like idiots right now to anybody with any knowledge of the arts. Instead of sounding like idiots, how about we move in to the place where we become the vehicle for all things good and hit the major sports topics across the nation. Strap up your seatbelts. Time for the Safe Bound Get Around. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Safebound, Get Around, brought to you by Safebound Moving and Storage. You are safe with Safebound. You don't want to move without them. You don't want to be lugging around your furniture. You don't want to be, you know, sweating and damaging walls, trying to carry stuff out because you're not an expert. You're not a professional like they are. They're located in West Palm Beach, so they're good people. They offer temporary and permanent storage options as well to fit your moving and storage needs. Most importantly, they are committed to customer service. They want to provide you with a stress-free move, whether you're moving within the state, out of the state, or to the state of Florida. You can count on Safebound. Safebound Moving and Storage. You are safe with Safebound. They have a strong commitment to the community, and they provide moving services for nonprofits as well. You're safe with Safebound for your storage and moving needs. Hop in with Safebound, the good team.
Next stop.
First stop on the Safebound Get Around. We're going to Austin, Texas. 14-year veteran quarterback Colt McCoy is officially retiring from the NFL. He'll begin his broadcasting career for NBC, their Big Ten coverage this fall.
See, first off, the fact that Colt McCoy, former Texas quarterback, is going to start coverage for the Big Ten because the conference he played in, the Big 12, doesn't even have his alma mater anymore because they're in the SEC, makes me just, it blows my mind. When I hear Colt McCoy, I think about the Big 12. I think about Graham Harrell. I think about Vince Young. I think about, as I see a wrestling mask there on my guy Dom, I think about Landry Jones. I think about the real, like, nature of what it was to have these regional conferences that meant something to me that I grew up watching and loving. Michael Crabtree. These prolific offenses, nobody could stop anybody. It was 58 to 56 every single game. Now the Big 12 is like, what, Colorado and TCU and
Utah.
Utah?
Uh-huh.
What happened to the game I loved? What happened to the game I knew?
Next stop.
Bristol, Connecticut, the mothership. ESPN's 24-hour fantasy football marathon begins tonight, 7 p.m. Theo, give me one fantasy do and one fantasy don't this football season.
Fantasy do, I would wait on a quarterback and draft a mobile quarterback. I would wait on a guy like a Jaden Daniels, a Kyler Murray. Draft some of those, you know, high-level positional guys early. Wait on a good QB late that can get you a high upside or at least a high floor with the rushing. A don't this year, do not draft Stephon Diggs or Nico Collins where they're going in drafts. Unless you're in my league, please draft them high. Please draft them in the third or fourth round. There hasn't been a team since 08 to have three receivers have 1,000-yard seasons. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, I don't know if it's going to happen this year. And if anybody I'm getting with that Texans receiving core, it's going to be Tank Dell because you can get him the latest. Plus, he's lockstep with C.J. Stroud. They're best pals. do not reach for Diggs or Nico Collins this year. It's going to be a mistake.
Next stop,
Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey,
if you weren't talking about Caleb Williams yesterday and talking about how we lit it up once again, you're talking about the Mahomes magic that we did see.
Mahomes keeps it, goes behind the back. Kelce's got it for the first down. How do you like that?
Of course, the behind-the-back pass from Patrick Mahomes. The man himself claims this is how it came to be.
Long story short, Travis didn't run the route he was supposed to run, and then it was kind of a behind-the-back pass, kind of because I was mad. I was pissed off at Travis. He was supposed to run a flat route. I don't know if you can hear me on the broadcast. I'm yelling at him, and then he doesn't run it. So out of spite, I do a behind-the-back pass, but now it's going to be a highlight.
That's cap. That's a manufacturer moment, and I'm the biggest Patrick Mahomes guy. I'm a Chiefs fan. But that's cap. He planned on this preseason throwing a behind-the-back pass. I don't know if he planned on doing it that play. He'd done it in practice a bunch of times. He's obviously a magician with the football. But everybody's manufacturing these moments so that they can have these documentaries later in these docuseries where you can go back and go, oh my God, how crazy was that, man? They're so good that he just impromptu threw it behind his back. He's been planning this out. And you know Andy Reid was like, please don't do that in the regular season.
What voice was that?
I don't know.
It just, oh my God, man.
It just came out of it. It's a corny voice. That's what it was. Okay. Oh my God, dude. Like, is that
that's your white guy
that
voice.
Is that not a white guy?
That's your white guy
voice. Is that a
white
guy? Oh my God, dude. Like, what happened there?
That kind of sounds like Fred in Scooby-Doo. That's what I kind of got from that.
A white guy voice?
Yes.
I don't know. It just came out. I burped it out. You know what? It just happened. Like the behind-the-back pass from Patrick Mahomes. It just happened.
Next stop.
Let's go to Vegas, Nevada. Odds have been posted on the first college football coach to be fired in 2024. Billy Napier from Florida is the favorite at 4-1 odds. Close behind, Miami's Cristobal is third most likely at 6-1 odds.
Miami's not firing Mario Cristobal this year unless there's some kind of major scandal or like if they literally like lose to FAMU in week 3. By the way, I'm trying to go to that game. Like, I don't get... And I get it. Putting Miami in your top whatever for a list is always going to get you some engagement, some interaction. So, I mean, as a guy that, you know, every now and then reaches for some engagement, like I get that flow. But he's not getting fired. He's still a top 5 recruiter in the nation. That team is way too talented to lose some of these games. And I just have too much faith in what they've built right now. Like, there's no way Mario Cristobal should be the third most likely coach in college football to get fired. It's not happening.
I feel like betting on who's going to get fired first, that's a next level hate. Putting money where your mouth is, rooting on somebody's downfall, I would never do that.
I actually kind of like it. I like the spirit of it. Like, if you really, really don't like a dude, like if you're really against them, yeah, bet on them to get fired first. Because think about how joyous that morning's going to be when you see that headline come, that breaking news headline come, and you know that not only is this dude going to have to pack up his bags and move, but also you're going to hit cash in at the bank. How good are the odds, by the way? What are like? Is it like really high? Like, is it?
I mean, it's weird. 4-1 for Billy Napier. So like, that's $10 wins you 40.
That's not good.
Now I'm thinking, bring this to real life. Imagine betting on Cheryl from accounting to get canned from her job because she takes too many days off.
And you can get some insider trading there. Like, maybe you know that people are out on Cheryl.
Exactly. She's not a good locker room gal.
Terrible locker room gal. She sucks at the water cooler with some talk after the weekend.
Mm-hmm. No and one also, she smells like her cat.
She didn't show up to the company happy hour 2 straight times.
Exactly. It's not mandatory, but it's suggested.
It's very heavily suggested. That's the only reason why I'm going to the Monday Night Raw. I was afraid if I don't go, I might get canned right alongside with Cheryl and apparently Mario Cristobal because you guys have a short fuse with head coaches. The dude, he's got to be somewhat good. He does ball. He doesn't do sports talk. He does ball.
Next stop.
Theo, you know me. I'm a baseball guy. Through and through. Every day of the week, got to have baseball on my TV. But that's not the best way to consume baseball. It's going to the darn games. We've got a beautiful ballpark right here in the state of Florida. It's down the road, Lone Depot Park.
Now, I know you're a baseball guy. How does Barbie night sound to you?
Sounds pretty good if it's at a baseball game. A
little date night. You could pull up for Barbie night, which will be against the Cubs August 23rd. And the fun thing about Barbie night is your ticket gets you exclusive Marlins Barbie baseball jersey. You can only get that one place, and that's Lone Depot Park. Marlins.com/Barbie if you're interested in some Barbie tickets. A nice date night thing. It's also going to be Woman Empowerment Night on August 23rd. perfect time to pull up to the park with your significant other. Another one that's big right here, you got football jersey giveaway on August 25th. Another one against the Cubs, a 140 first pitch Sunday fun day. That'll be marlins.com/giveaways to get in on that action. If you want to catch the fish this year, you know where to go. Lone Depot Park right there in Miami. You got Taco Tuesdays, you got Fiesta Fridays, you got Barbie Night on August 23rd. A lot of fun stuff there with the Marlins. Tap in marlins.com/tickets. On the other side, we have our Duffy's MVP Monday. The candidates come from all over. We got a little WNBA, got some live golf. Exciting stuff. We crown a champion on the other side. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Clifford out of the gun. Broncos rushing four. Clifford throws off his back foot and it's intercepted. Picked off and down the sideline. Kedron Smith. Smith trying to stay in bounds and he is brought down. Consecutive weeks for Kedron Smith with an interception.
Kedron Smith, the Oxbridge alum, Boca native, former Ole Miss D-back, former Kentucky D-back, now with the Denver Broncos, looking to replace Justin Simmons as a ball hawking safety out there, undrafted free agent. He's one of the Duffy's MVP of the weekend candidates. A big shout to him. Trying to earn a roster spot as a UDFA, that's the way to do it, getting two interceptions in the preseason. We'll see what Kedron Smith's able to do. Just one of our three candidates for Duffy's MVP of the weekend, which we're going to crown right now. My second candidate, Will C-Cat, I turn it over to you as you dip into a league that you usually don't.
Yeah, we're talking WNBA, folks, and if there's one voice on the W, it is mine. Caitlin Clark with the Indiana Fever winning a game on Friday, a game on Sunday. She broke the record for assists for a rookie, and she still has 12 games to play this season. Caitlin Clark, my girl, my sister from another mother.
You're supposed to go sister from another mister. That's
I respect women too much to say mister there, so you're ahead.
Oh, wow. Great. Good job. Great putting me in this spot. And also the final Duffy's MVP candidate of the weekend and the winner going to go to Brooks Koepka on the LIV Golf Tour. You know me. I'm LIV Golf through and through. See, Cat, I can teach you something about it. He wins his fifth ever event. He did it at Greenbrier in West Virginia, and he did so after I called my shot, putting bank on Brooks Koepka ahead of it. He did it in a playoff hole against John Rahm.
That was intense.
Pretty good stuff there. That's your Duffy's MVP of the weekend. Brooks Koepka, West Palm native, a local guy who's doing it on the international stage and doing it in West Virginia, of all places. Nice. There it is. That's your Monday. We are going to move on. Duffy's, of course, the place to go if you want to have a fantasy football draft party or just enjoy some good eats and two-for-one drinks. Duffy'sMVP.com at Duffy's. Our game is always on. C-Cat, you ready for some wrestling?
Yeah!
We are going to Monday Night Raw soon. We're going to have that experience and recant it for you on the other side. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. Go in love, go in peace, go enjoy.